Channel Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Who Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. We are your health and well-being radio show. Although, today, for the first time in how many years, Angela?
It must be about 15 years, I reckon. Oh, I'm just breaking everything in the studio as well.
She's breaking herself.
I am broke. unfortunately, as you can probably hear, I feel great, Jan, absolutely fine, but I have got, it's my husband's man flu. That's what I've got. Although he says I can't have man flu because I'm not a man. So apparently, because I'm a bird, I've got bird flu. Okay. So, not literally, folks, not really. So, yeah, I've had this, for about a week now, so I'm fed up with it. I've had enough.
Yes.
But it's just this,
You were out and about, sort of walking driving.
Keep going out. Well, I'm very much passionate about get out in the fresh air if you've got, it's only a cold.
Yeah.
And I don't feel, the rest of things, neck down is fine. So, out in the fresh air and, washing cars yesterday, washing the cars.
I have to say though, in all the time I've known you, this is the first time it's like somebody's removed one of your batteries.
Yeah, definitely.
Slightly slower than normal.
I am slightly slower.
My jokes are taking longer for her to penetrate them.
Yeah, they don't sink in, do they? What did you just say?
So I'm going to go gentle on it.
So apologies, listener, if, I suddenly get halfway through a conversation and then start into a coughing fit, because that tends to be what's happening at the moment. And, so I might have to then hide at the back of the studio. So, but I'm not contagious, so rest assured. Our wonderful guest, who's glowing with health and nutrition over there. But yes, I've been on the lemon waters this week,
yeah,
and my juices.
From Kerry from last
week. Oh, yeah. So loads and loads of, fluid. As I say, just, what's the word I used earlier? My Ayurvedic practitioner, she was saying that, if you need to
expel.
Evacuate. My nose or my cough. It's like,
Too much information.
We're not going to go there. So yeah, but it's been a good week, I say. I've still been out and about and active, because also, very much your heart and obviously like me with exercise, you've got the endorphins and the feel good factors and that can only help attack this virus.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to follow Kerry's advice. So last week we had Kerry Madrick from Kerry's Natural Health Solutions.
Yeah.
And I was telling Angela in the journey over, I've been trying to do my lemon in hot water of a morning. Haven't made it every morning because I'm a creature of habit. So this is a new habit that I now need to
form.
And
yeah.
I haven't quite got there yet.
So that's better than nothing.
But this morning's had a bit of a funny flavour to it. And I couldn't quite understand what was going on. So I can taste the lemon, but there's definitely another
taste
there. And then I went back and realised that where the lemon had been stored was in the same bowl as some chopped onion. And it obviously permeated overnight into the lemon.
Lemon and onion water, there's a new one.
So it wasn't unpleasant, and I think possibly an evening drink rather than a morning drink in future. So, I think I can tell some difference already, even with my once every other to third day. So we'll keep on going with that.
Well, apparently mucus is also the body's way of cleansing.
So
I've been definitely on a cleansing week, I can tell you that.
Well, Kerry's been in touch earlier in the week, saying she's posted all of her information. I mean, we have
there's oodles on there.
But on her website, she's made a link to the show and posted. And she's going to be offering a free service to, I think she mentioned first 10 Who Cares Wins listeners who contact her. We're waiting on the code for that and the web link. And as soon as we've got that, we'll post it out on Facebook.
And we'll tweet about it.
We will indeed. So some free services from Kerry in the wind. They're on their way to us.
Marvellous.
And there was something we were going to mention at the start of last week's show. And if anybody tuned in, you realised we had some technical problems. So Angela was running around the studio doing things.
I was trying to get all the papers together.
So we missed the opportunity to go into this in depth. But it's our favourite charity, Palsy.
It is. It's, as people know, if you follow our website page, whocareswinsradio.co.uk, you will know that on our homepage there, we have a link to Herbs Palsy, the charity after Juliet Shandos on our show. So that is our charity that we like to promote actively on our page. But they sent me through some information about their groups. But actually the information I've got through is it's actually a day, which I think looking at this detail, anyone can go to it. If you can get yourself up to Coventry on the 8th of May. So if you want to send anyone to Coventry on the 8th of May as well, maybe they can incorporate this as their journey. And so it's at the Techno Centre in Coventry, University Technology Park. Mm-hmm. And that's Coventry CV1 to TT, if you want to do a postcode check and see how far away it is. Shoulder dystocia, How would you pronounce that, Jan? Dystocia?
I think we went to Sosia last week.
Is it avoidable or is it a fact of life? And the emphasis of the day will be primarily on issues of the cause and effect of brachial plexus injuries / Erb's palsy. Mm-hmm. And there will also be consideration given to prediction, diagnosis and risk management. And the lineup of speakers at the moment they have is a Terry Coates, who's a midwifery consultant, a Professor Tim Draycott, who is a consultant obstetrician.
Mm-hmm.
My words aren't working today. Grain Book, I think that is, a consultant brachial plexus surgeon. And also a company, Endurance Arthur, who are clinical negligence solicitors.
Right.
So I suppose if it all goes pear-shaped, then that's you can call them. There will be workshops with an opportunity for hands-on experience using Nelly, the prompt birth mannequin.
Wow.
I used to call it Annie, but then I suppose this is a baby.
That's the first aid one.
That was the one I trained on. So yes, it's only £50 and it includes lunch and refreshments and a certificate of attendance. £25 if you are a student midwife.
All right.
So cheaper for you. The cost of the day is highly subsidised by Erb's Palsy Group to keep the cost to a minimum so that they can obviously get lots of attendees, which is great. So for further information, the best thing to do is to contact Ruth Mansell at Erb's Palsy Group. There is a telephone number of 01689. Now, this is very difficult to read because it's on a blue background, so I will double check this. 01689 811446. Alternatively, email Ruth, R-U-T-H, at erbspalsygroup.co.uk. And I will try and see if I can get a clearer one. We're trying to get a clearer one
post
so we can
that
post
up.
That up on
yeah.
Facebook so you can actually have the details and the link. Because I couldn't see it on their website at the moment.
If you do attend, we'd love to hear from you afterwards to hear what you got out of the day, whether you'd go again, and then you'd encourage other people to go.
Mm. I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's a great charity, and obviously still, you know, they're trying to grow the awareness of Erb's palsy and what it is. So it's a great charity to support or get in touch. We had Juliet on. If you want to hear her listen again, then find it in our archive.
So we've been talking brachial plexus injury.
Injuries.
And our guest in the corner.
Yes.
You know, I could feel the professional body tweet up there. She recognises this. She's ready to talk.
Hands on.
We have with us today Deborah McNair of Restoring Health Limited. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
It's nice to have you in person rather than just a recording.
Yes, because we met Deborah at the Wellbeing Symposium.
We did.
In November.
Yeah.
And did a snippet interview with you. Did a little taster.
We did,
to find out a little bit more about you. And we said we'd get you on the show. And today's the day.
Yay.
So welcome.
She's here.
Thank you. Brilliant opportunity. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. So you have a fantastic story to share with us. There's a journey to, because even with a little few words that you've said so far, people will notice that there's a pattern forming that we have another accent this week.
But well, you know, worldwide domination, you see. So
same accent as last
same
week,
accent.
But possibly a different region. So your country of origin.
Yep, we hail all the way from South Africa.
So as Kerry did. So I'm beginning a theme here. We are being
Kerry
invaded.
Was Zimbabwe, wasn't she, I think, initially?
Yeah.
She said.
Born in Zimbabwe.
You were.
Oh,
hey! Maybe you were neighbours.
Distant land. So now, restoring health, that could mean absolutely anything. So we're going to start from the beginning and take you back in your background about how
take your mind back.
How you got to where you are today professionally and what formed Restoring Health and what Restoring Health is. So take us back as far back as you're comfortable going.
Okay. Maybe I should start with the qualifications that I got in South Africa as a biokineticist.
Oh, say that again.
Biokineticist.
Okay. So we did tweet about this. This is a word that I'm
you're
not
going to explain
with.
That, aren't you,
we
to
are.
Us? good.
It's a primary healthcare profession in South Africa relating to physical fitness, chronic conditions, orthopedic rehabilitation, special populations, and sports performances.
Oh.
So nobody in the UK really knows what that is.
No, far too much.
The degree's recognised, but the profession itself isn't. But biokineticists are quite well respected. All the major medical aids pay for them. They travel with the top sports teams, and it's a very well-known profession in SA.
Right. Oh. So you're trying to introduce it here?
Not as such, because we came to the UK about 14 years ago, And the reason we got here was to be a part of a training center at a church called Jubilee Church.
Okay.
And that's how we took a detour away from biokinetics as such, because I had certain visa restrictions that didn't allow me to practice.
Right.
And as soon as we got our citizenship, I decided that I wanted to start practicing in the thing that I was trained for again. So I'm not practicing biokinetics as such, but I do have an honours degree in orthopedic rehabilitation, which helps me with the knowledge of what I'm doing at the moment.
Right. Okay. So we've got the biokinetics, we've got the honours degree. What else is there in the pipeline?
I kind of took a detour into the care industry in those 10 years.
Okay.
So I've studied, I was a homes manager for adults with learning difficulties.
Okay.
And then as soon as we were able to start a business, which was after 10 years of the citizenship process,
mm-hmm.
we decided to start Restoring Health.
Right. And so what is Restoring Health?
Okay, Restoring Health is a family-run business, and we employ a team of professionals to provide soft tissue therapy. So the family being my husband and I both work in the business.
Hello, husband. Husband's name?
Was he working?
Husband's name is Wayne, and I'm hoping that he's listening, actually.
Hello, Wayne, and I hope he's working hard.
Yes. And the rest of the team has definitely got clients at the moment, and
right.
that's Beth and Gin. So we've got 3 full-time therapists, and we've all studied at the London School of Sports and Remedial Massage at a level 5, and we currently have an intern as well. Then we have a physiotherapist on board with us. That's Mark Heffernan, who's the chartered physiotherapist for Kent Police.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another part-time therapist as well. So to cover all the different services that we provide, there's quite a big team.
Mm. Right. So you came to the UK, as you say, you came to join a training team. That was sort of a motivation for leaving.
Yes, yes.
And you had this long process of citizenship.
Yes.
You know, we hear on the news, oh, people just pop over and it's done. But obviously, for some people, it's not the same.
No.
And it depends on the country of origin as to how
yes.
long it can take, rather than the individual. So no crimes in the background. We need to be worried about that.
No.
But that's quite a big leap of faith, isn't it? A, you've changed country.
Mm-hmm.
You're changing your profession, either permanently or temporarily, because you never know what's out there. And then you're setting up a business.
Yes.
So some big, big leaps there
changes.
Going on. And in terms of soft tissue massage, is that an element of your biokinetics that you've now expanded, or is this a new pathway?
It's kind of both, really. I think the value of combining the knowledge that I had with the soft tissue therapy, just to define what soft tissue therapy is that it's basically treating minor injuries to the muscles, the
mm-hmm.
ligaments and the tendons of the body.
Right.
So things that are caused by repetitive action or poor posture or trauma. And it includes various types of massage. So right through from a chilled out relaxing massage
mm-hmm.
through to deep tissue, sports and remedial massage, as well as exercise prescription and physiotherapy. So that's what soft tissue therapy encompasses. And I find that the combination of getting really hands-on with certain conditions with the clients that we have really supplements the knowledge that I've had before, so that when we do put them on exercise prescription, we know exactly what's happening in the body and in the muscles.
Right. So you mentioned sort of 3 or 4 different reasons why somebody might have soft tissue massage. So
yeah.
it can be anything from just a weekly relax,
yeah.
feel better massage,
yeah, absolutely.
To something far more serious where somebody's got a medical condition or an injury that you're assisting them with.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Now, there's something even more interesting about you guys
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, everybody sets up a business
mm-hmm.
and bills to pay. Mm-hmm. And that's generally what people are in business. Yes, you've got your passion. Why you set up that business.
Lovely business model they've got.
But this one is a bit special because you don't keep all your profits, do you?
No, we don't. I think what we did at the end of that 10-year period is decided what could we do to help to get behind the vision of what we'd come to the UK to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, take the skills that we've got. My husband wasn't even trained in this field. He comes from a human resources and training and teaching background.
Yay.
Yeah. He's a Angela's a fan already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he took a massive career detour as well. And we just thought, what we wanted to do is set up a financial engine that's going to help to support some of the things that we were involved in already. So we actually call ourselves a 51 company, and we give 51% of our net profits to two particular charities. The one is called Restoring Hands, and they do the most incredible work based in Maidstone, and they meet very practical and physical needs of people in the community in the way of doing things like dealing with isolation amongst the elderly,
right.
Looking at if people have got too much month at the end of their money. They do food parcels. There's a whole range of things they can do. Listeners could maybe go onto their website and have a look at that. And then out of that is also Restoring Hope, and that is a charity that provides a safe accommodation and a program to try and reintegrate ladies that have been rescued from the sex trafficking trade,
okay.
Back into sort of their a normal way of living. So that's the one charity, and then the other one is what we call the Jubilee Family Life Centre, and that has a range of both courses and pastoral care that we give, from things like marriage enrichment to divorce care to grief courses to pastoral care. We have parenting courses, so lots of different things that will help families equip them for the skills that they need at various stages of their life.
So that's just a fantastic business model.
It is a great business model to be able to give
51% of your net profits goes to charity.
Yeah.
And
it's split between those three charities, which is fantastic. Are they all based near where you are in the country, which is Maidstone in Kent?
Yes, they are. The head office specifically for Restoring Hope, obviously for security reasons, one can't mention where the
absolutely.
Places are, but the head office is based there,
So the administration side of it. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, well, maybe we need to get them on the show as well.
There's three opportunities there. And
fabulous
it's
work.
It's time for a perfect support piece of music coming up, because you've chosen this track for us, Deborah. It's called My Own Little World by Matthew West. Now, I hadn't heard of either the song or the singer before, but there's a specific reason for you choosing this, isn't there?
I think it is. It's really my heart's cry. What he sings about is for us just to be aware of the needs of the people around us, to actually take notice of what's going on around us, and then do everything that we can with our time and talents to help make a difference.
Well, it certainly sounds as if you and your colleagues are doing that. So we're going to give you all a chance now to make yourself a cup of tea, sit back and have a listen to Matthew West.
In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population, me. I try to stay awake till the Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. Turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population, me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose? I could be living right now. At a red light, looked out my window. I saw cardboard signs that held this homeless widow. And just above that sign was the face of a human. I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? Bigger picture. What if I'm missing out? What if this Give me open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. What is the bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? I don't wanna miss what matters. I wanna be reaching out. Show me the greater purpose so I can start living right now. Outside my own little world. Ooh, my own little world. Yeah, yeah. My own little
Radio. And welcome back to Who Cares Wins. We're in the studio today with our guest Deborah McNair from Restoring Health Limited. Now Deborah, just before the break, we were talking about your fantastic 51% donation to charity. But in doing so, I was very keen to share that with listeners, we may have swiftly passed over the main essence of the business side of things, which is the soft tissue therapy.
Yes.
Now, before I met you, I'd been aware of soft tissue therapy from the viewpoint of something that somebody who manipulates with their hands does. But I didn't appreciate it was a practitioner therapy on its own. So maybe you could just take us through that again. What is soft tissue therapy? And from maybe your viewpoint, how it differs or where it sits with more traditional UK therapies of physiotherapy, chiropractic, osteopathy.
I'm sure we've got listeners who are sort of like, well, is that not the same as my massage I have once a week or a physiotherapy or, yeah, be great.
Okay, that's actually a really important distinction to make because the reason that I studied sports and remedial massage, which is what the London School of Sports Massage is training us to do, is because biokinetics is kind of unmarketable in the UK.
Right.
So the terminology soft tissue therapy is something that we are trying to educate people on because it is encompassed, or it encompasses sports and remedial massage as well. But the concern with being just a sports massage therapist from a business point of view and a marketing point of view is that people would think that it's only sports related.
Sure.
Right.
So therefore they would think, well, if I'm not a sports person, it counts me out and I can't actually go there.
Yeah.
So, what happens with biokinetics as such is that we work very traditionally with the physiotherapist. So in South African context, a physiotherapist would see the acute phase of an injury, mm-hmm. And they're medically trained, and a biokineticist would come and do more of the long-term rehabilitation.
Right.
So what we're doing in the UK, because obviously it's not biokinetics that we're promoting, but the sports and remedial massage and the different massage therapies, is that our specialization would be specifically with the soft tissues of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at a physiotherapist, firstly, that's a medical background. It's an important distinction to make. We refer a lot to physios. We're not able to make a diagnosis on something.
Right.
But a physio would deal a lot with joint manipulation, range of motion. They focus a lot on exercise prescription and what the person can do to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
An osteopath would do a lot of soft tissue work, but also do the skeletal manipulation. So the click, click, crack, crack,
yeah,
is the bit that we don't do. but they also do quite a fair amount of soft tissue therapy as well to prepare the body for that type of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm aware, chiropractic focuses a lot on the actual alignment of the skeletal system,
yeah,
as well.
Lots of cracking in chiropractic,
yeah,
treatment.
So it's kind of a range of, if you look at it as a spectrum, it's not necessarily a hierarchy. I think just each division specializes in something a bit more. So probably the hands-on experience that we've got,
mm-hmm,
as soft tissue therapists may be slightly more detailed than what the others are able to do because it's all that we focus on.
Right. Okay. Now, I made a note to myself. I don't understand massage. I mean, I appreciate it's a manipulation, and I appreciate that for some people it's a pleasurable therapy.
Yeah, it can be.
And for some people it's a medical need. What happens? What is it doing?
Okay. Well, there's a number of benefits that massage brings. So, say, for example, we're looking in a sporting context. We would have the obvious things are things like increased blood flow, increased lymphatic drainage, so the body is more effectively positioned to be able to get rid of waste products and toxins that are built up from sporting activities.
Okay.
It is when we're working fairly deeply into the tissues, we're doing things like realigning tissue fibers so that there is no blocking of the way that the blood flows through that muscle, so that muscle can then contract and relax more effectively. As soon as there's a better blood flow to the area, you have got a better delivery of nutrients to the body, and more effective waste product being removed from the tissues. So what massage will do is serve to improve that system as well as align muscle fibers and reduce pain, bring relaxation, release endorphins. So there's a whole list of generalized health benefits massage can bring.
And of course, if you remember, Jan, when we did the show on hugs,
why did I know you were going to bring this
you
up?
You knew, didn't you? You just like, she kept giving me the eye there. Did you see, Deborah? But there is also, and Deborah will probably know far more than I, but there is, from my awareness of with massage and treatments, but the actual physical element of touch on the body, yes, that also does something magical.
Okay. So I'm going to 15 love to you. So I'm going to do 15 all with, as an individual, hugs are not really my thing.
Sure.
And I've only had one massage in my life, and within 2 minutes...
In your life?
In my life.
Jan.
Because within 2 minutes I had a raging headache.
Okay.
And it just made me tense. It didn't relax me at all. So it was... I went somewhere to a spa, and you had a free massage every day, and I couldn't take advantage of it. So allowing for the fact that we are all different, yes, and I'm prepared to be the weird one in the room...
I thought that was me.
Would there be a reason for that that could be overcome, or are we just accepting that everybody's different and it doesn't work for everybody?
I think, if I may, without offending any
listeners... No, go ahead.
obviously, I come from a different context culturally, and mm-hmm, it is something over the last 5 years that I've been doing this that I found that we really need to try and overcome, because a number of people in a British context are quite reserved when it comes to physical contact, because mm-hmm, it's quite an intimate thing to do, whereas in South Africa our personal bubbles are a lot smaller.
I need to move.
So what that could be doing, if you're feeling unwell, obviously the way that we would approach it is we usually have a very thorough assessment with people. We let them know exactly what to expect. Mm-hmm. When you're going for a spa relaxing type massage, there's not much time spent in terms of an assessment.
No.
They get the initial information that they need to make sure it's safe. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that we do to try and overcome that problem is that we're doing free clinics. So we have people coming in and meeting us for sort of 20 minutes at a time, mm-hmm, getting to know who we are, what to expect, can we help them, and we sort of break the ice that way. But in terms of the physical response that you had, what can often happen is a therapy that we use quite a lot is called trigger point therapy. And if you have trigger points in the muscle, now a trigger point is defined as a hyper-irritable nodule that when you press
Hang on. A what?
Hyper-irritable.
Hyper-irritable.
So it's very sensitive.
Hyper, yes.
And when you push on it, it's like those hard little nodules you find in the muscle. And then when you push on it, it refers pain via a nerve pathway.
Right.
Somewhere else. So you might find that as the person was working on you, they may have been igniting what we call latent trigger points, and that can start to refer pain and make you feel unwell. But also, the thing that we find that we've done is managed to find quite a niche in the market, in that we provide a chilled out, relaxing atmosphere, mm-hmm, with quite a clinical approach. Because if I can't get our clients to relax, the techniques don't work.
Sure.
So you can be rest assured that if there is discomfort associated with the massage, which in deep tissue there very often needs to be, it's not going to be overbearing or something that is unnecessary pain. So that we try to create an environment that keeps you relaxed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I also think, from my very brief understanding of it, it's also that it could have been that if that was your first massage ever,
mm-hmm,
it's a release of toxins, which is why you're always encouraged to have a glass of water after you've had a massage. Mm-hmm. You may need to go and evacuate. you know, but it is, because if you think about, as Deborah said there, you know, the massages, you're moving things around the body and trying to get the body to move, the blood flow and the lymphs, everything's trying to move freely now, and if there's blockages. So obviously, if that was your first one, and yes, if it was just one of those spa treatments, they are going to do what I call the standard sort of, you know, massage treatment. But if you actually are somebody that needs to be really maybe seen for a program for a while to really detoxify the body, and actually your migraine was actually a way of your body going, hey, this is good, because it's starting to release stuff, but it would have been, you know, maybe something you need to carry on. So yeah, maybe we need to get her to go and see you, Deborah, on a little program. Well, sign Jan up. Hey,
I definitely agree with that. Okay,
then I can have a hug at Christmas.
Oh, I don't know.
You see, that'd be your goal.
That's a milestone to go for, isn't it? I don't know if it's good or bad thing. Moving swiftly onwards. Now, we've been referring to sports massage for people who may feel that they are the sports people, and therefore they might put somebody off who isn't a sports person. And then you've also mentioned remedial massage.
Yes.
Do you, firstly, what do you classify as remedial massage? And secondly, do you approach both tasks differently?
I think the only distinction between sports massage and remedial massage is the cause, the answer lies in the cause of the problem.
Right.
So we apply the same techniques to deal with each of them, but something that's remedial would arise from a cause other than a sporting activity. So it could be recreational, it could be occupational, whereas obviously a sports-related massage is dealing with either a pre-event massage, so you do stimulatory techniques before somebody's going to do an event, or you do a post-event massage, which is if someone's just come off of a marathon, they're not going to want deep tissue massage at that point, so you just try to calm things down.
Angela's shaking her head here.
Don't touch my calves!
So I think the distinction is quite specific, because people need to realize that most of the work we do is remedial. We are moving into more sporting environments, but it's actually for the everyday concerns that people have. Sitting at a desk, driving a car, those kinds of things would fall into remedial massage.
Right. And so what would be the advantage if I'm either got an injury, a bit of a niggle going on, and I'm thinking, oh, I need to take myself off somewhere? What might be the advantage that soft tissue therapy has over one of the other practices that I'm aware of?
Okay, I think that obviously all the practitioners that we've mentioned, all the types of practices, would do a thorough assessment. But with the soft tissue therapist, what we would do is look primarily at myoskeletal alignment. So in other words, looking at your posture and how that lines up, and whether there is a deviation in your posture that might be causing problem with the way your body functions.
Right.
So that detailed assessment, we will be able to look at muscle imbalances around a joint. We'll be able to stretch the muscles that need stretching, help you strengthen the ones that need strengthening. So for example, if somebody's been sitting at a desk and they have a desk job, which is a lot of what we see, the muscles called the hamstrings at the back of the top of their leg are going to shorten over time just because of the position that they're in. And when that happens, that it can pull on the pelvic bone and cause a malalignment in the pelvic bone, which would then in turn have consequence that they would probably have lower back pain.
And that's exactly what I am suffering from.
There we go.
Because sitting around at home, not doing much, and obviously just being there for hubby over the years has shortened my hamstrings. Therefore, I suffer lower back because I'm not active. I've just been sitting around.
And it's interesting because of my role as an ergonomist being called in. Somebody says, I've got back pain, it's my chair. But what they're thinking is it's lumbar support, neck and shoulder support. They're not thinking legs. So when I go in and say, right, well, I need to take photos,
let me have a look at your legs.
Look at your legs. Don't quite say
no
that.
Oh, okay then. That's why I'm not an ergonomist.
that professional code of ethics is do not ask to see their legs. But people get confused why I want to see the whole person and everything they do across the day.
Sure.
Because, and it's exactly as you said, it's the hidden things or the non-obvious things that might be playing into the injury that they're suffering.
Absolutely, and I think that's the thing that I drill with my team all the time, is not to chase the pain. We've got to look for the root of the problem. And sometimes people joke and say, if I have a headache, Deborah, you find it in my big toe. It's not quite that extreme. but
it can be.
But it is about finding the root. What is causing that? What are people doing in their everyday life that we can reduce the triggers for, as well as providing the therapy at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And that's what we're key about. It's something I'm very dear to my heart in in the coaching I do with people is to really look at the whole prevention side of things, and the whole, whether it's the food and nutrition, whether it's the activity in your life, it's work, it's how you travel, it's how you drive, it's whether you sit on the train, how you sit on the train. If I think about how I used to sit on the train and go to sleep, I'm horrified at my posture.
Well, you can tell the commuters from the day trippers, because the commuters are all the ones in the very bad posture positions, falling asleep on somebody else's shoulder.
Or cuddling them. Not my case, but somebody who obviously went really deep sleep and ended up sort of rolling over to this person's shoulder and their arm was going around. I think they obviously thought they were in bed with their wife. It's a bit embarrassing. So hey ho, there's some stories there, but that's not a show completely.
So we've touched on the sort of things that the advantage of soft tissue therapy can provide. What sort of problems? We've mentioned desk, hamstring, sitting. Mm-hmm. How might somebody prevent that? Can they prevent that from happening?
There's a lot that people can do themselves. So, and some of the things that really seem like common sense, and they're perhaps things that people know they should do, but when they actually make the changes, it makes the world of difference. Because we've seen thousands of people in our clinic that have got these minor musculoskeletal problems, which is what soft tissue therapy deals with. And what we've done is actually we've put a course together, which Mark Heffernan, the physiotherapist, has initiated to try and engage with businesses to try and help these things, their employers prevent these problems from happening in the first place. So very often we look at the spectrum where we're dealing with it once it's already occurred, but people can actually do a lot. So we teach things like how they should sit in the chair, which you would fully understand. Be sure that you're sitting back into your chair. Make sure that there's good support. It's very often people think, oh, good, there's somebody coming in. I can get a 1,000-pound chair. And, you know, very
often...
it's not what's needed either. No. They can just get a lumbar roll and make sure that they've got good lumbar support. One of the things that we see a lot is where people don't have their monitor in the right place, so they're leaning into their work, and what that does is it serves to shorten the muscles at the back of the neck, and then they get headaches behind their eyes. And very often if I look at the what we call the suboccipital region, so it's the point at the base of the spine, they're very hard nodules there, and those are the trigger points that are referring that pain. So if we can get people to in order to sit comfortably, very often when I put people in a comfortable position, it doesn't feel comfortable, but that's where the exercise comes in. That's where the understanding of what is core exercise and how can I strengthen my core so that I can sit up and gravity doesn't win over by the end of the day and cause all these slumping effects on our posture.
Absolutely.
I think just to mention as well, the other thing that's really, really important people don't realize is don't ride your mouse. So in other words, when you're holding the mouse that you're working with at a computer, make sure that when you're not using it, you actually put your hand away from the mouse. Because all the
I thought she meant I'd go and get a saddle and a brain. You were taking it out. Yeah, yeehaw.
Yeah, I could just see that going on in your head. I could.
She knows me so well.
With the same thing with the gearbox in the car.
Yeah.
If people are sitting in that position, the muscles in the shoulder engage all the time, and then eventually they forget how to switch off, and they stay engaged, and that's where all the back tension comes from and the headaches come from.
So and I would concur with that with absolutely everything you do. If you're listening to us now, have a quick look without thinking about what your hands are doing. Chances are they're holding something. They're resting on something,
you're
but
leaning.
Not in a relaxed way.
You're leaning.
You're leaning. Mm. So if you've been doing that for more than 5 or 10 minutes, have a bit of a shoulder roll, have a bit of a relax. Mm. Deborah's actually going to take us through an exercise after this upcoming piece
Yeehaw.
Of music.
Got to do press-ups. I've got to do press-ups. No?
Oh, my God. Now, as a tribute to Deborah and her colleagues and their 51% donation to charity and their support of charity, our next song is about friendship. It's Dionne Warwick and Friends.
Yay.
And it's called That's What Friends Are For. Enjoy.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today. And keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for good times.
And welcome back to Who Cares Wins on this very sunny Monday. It's warmer than it has been, so hopefully
beautiful.
It will continue.
Beautiful.
And we're in the studio today with Angela with her dulcet, cold-filled tones.
I know, I have one of those voices. 0898 numbers today, baby. Just a quick mention, we have obviously got Twitter here, so if you want to get hold of us or even pose a question for Deborah, then do get hold of us through at CaresWins on Twitter. We've had a few people, wonderful people out there, who've been retweeting us. Richard Hubbard, who obviously follows us at 2 o'clock on Channel Radio. He's got a wonderful music show, Richard Hubbard Show, so tune in at 2 o'clock for him. Also, we've had I Change My Move retweet us. Thank you very much. They are a digital health coach. Might need to find out where you are. So thank you very much for retweeting us. I noticed they're also followed by Mike Waterton, who is also one of the partners of Channel Radio.
Uh-huh.
So again, you see, we all love each other. It's one big happy family.
And joining our happy family today in the studio, we have Deborah McNair of Restoring Health.
And Paul Andrews has just retweeted. Yay! Thank you, Paul.
And now before the break, we were talking about common problems and why somebody might benefit from soft tissue therapy, and you alluded to the exercise process of what people can do to help themselves prevent problems or come out of a problem, and core strength was one of the things that we were discussing before the show, and the benefits of breaking what you refer to as the pain cycle. Now, that sounds painful in itself. So what do you mean by that?
Okay. We have a lot of movement involved with the massage techniques that we do. Mm-hmm. And what often happens is if somebody's injured, they tend, say, for example, they've injured their neck. Or they come to us and say, I slept funny last night is the classic one. I slept funny last night and my neck's cricked. And we have to explain that it's usually the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's never just I've slept incorrectly on one night. There's right. something pre-existing that builds up over time to result in that condition. And when people are like that, they tend not to move because they're concerned that they're going to hurt themselves further. Mm-hmm. And that is actually the worst enemy. If you take anything away from today, always try and move within a safe, pain-free range when you are feeling stiff or tight or the muscles are painful. So what we do with the exercises is in breaking the pain cycle, if we can get you to move fairly comfortably, because the way that the pain influences your posture influences the way your body functions, and the way your body functions in turn influences the pain. So that's what we
that's
mean by
cycle.
Right. So if we can introduce movement and reduce pain through treatment, we break that cycle. And very often we need to do that through exercise. And one of the most important things we look at is core strengthening.
And that's why you hear that a lot of people nowadays are recommended not to lay on a table or on a door when they've hurt their back or pulled their back. They're actually encouraged to get up and move now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, things have changed, and obviously that's why, isn't it, that they want them to, you know, get out of that cycle of being stuck in the pain and laying on the floor and not being able to move, and actually encouraging the body to realise in a safe environment. And obviously working with people like yourself, you're going to have somebody who's going to guide you to know, no, I don't need to do too much. It's not about running a marathon yet.
And it very much depends on exactly what's caused the problem, though, because I don't want people to think, oh, if they've suddenly reached out and they've had a herniated disc or a disc that's okay in that situation. I think if you ever concerned, always seek medical advice. Yeah. That's really important, because if you can get an accurate diagnosis on what's causing the pain, it helps the therapist be able to treat you properly and to go and see someone that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah, right, definitely.
Okay. Now, you're going to take us through a little exercise. Is this something that listeners can be following at the same time?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, listeners, are you ready? Clear space.
Fantastic name. You call it?
We call it actually, again, from Mark Heffernan, and I have to give him a shout out. He calls these exercises the martini exercises because apparently...
Do we have one in that one hand?
That's called well balanced.
Okay. Great, yeah. Oh, yeah, forget that balancing bit. Need one in each hand. The martini exercise.
He says that because apparently there was an advert that said martini any place, any time, anywhere.
Excellent.
So there are some exercises that you can do. A lot of people say, oh, I can't find an extra 20 minutes or half an hour in my day to get on the floor and do exercises. So
come and see me. I'll talk to you. I'll help you.
Excellent. So when you're looking at core strengthening, very often people think that it's just about doing loads and loads of sit-ups and loads of planks. But there's something that needs to precede that, and that's about and people being able to engage what their core muscles are.
Right.
So if everybody, and Angela specifically, gives a really big cough. So if wherever you are, just have a big cough.
I did too, sorry, I'm greedy.
The muscles that you feel right on the inside, that's how you identify the muscles.
I'm well in tune with them this week then. Thank you, Deborah.
Did everybody feel their inner muscles there? Have
Let
another cough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
so
with
it's
that.
Important to first identify which muscles we're talking about. So it's not your six pack. Mm-hmm. It's actually 10 packs in your six pack. But it's not the outer muscles. It's the one right in the core. And the one right in the middle is actually the only muscle that doesn't attach to a bone.
Okay.
So if you contract that muscle, it doesn't cause any movement. But what it does do is it brings your belly button towards your spine and it narrows your waist. So if you do that with me now, pretend that you've got a belt on and you're just tightening it by one or two notches. Then you should be engaging the muscle that we call the transverse abdominis. So, if
say
you
that
do
one again, transverse subdominis,
abdominis, as in abdomens.
Thank you very much.
That's
so
right, Jan. Anytime.
The very inside abdomen muscle that's traditionally the weakest.
Right.
Okay. So if people are doing lots and lots of sit-ups, but they're not engaging that first, they'll get a strong tummy, but it'll bulge outwards rather than be nice.
And can I ask?
Yes.
Can I ask a question, please, Miss?
Yes.
Lots and lots of sit-ups. People are necessarily using their hip flexors.
Absolutely.
And so actually they're not strengthening their It's stomach muscles either, are they?
Sit-ups, well, you have to engage your core muscles to do a full sit-up. When you're doing a full sit-up, you're using your hip flexors much more,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's not a good indication of abdominal strength, but it's quite, I would say, contraindicated to do a full sit-up if you've got a back problem and your core muscles aren't engaged. So what we need to do is we need to help people identify that before they try and do, and then I would rather recommend that people do crunches.
Yeah.
From the bottom and the top rather than doing the
sit-up. Yeah. Great, because you're then working the muscle that you're supposed to be focusing on. The other thing I wanted to ask is also, it has also been suggested to me in the past that imagine you need to go to the loo, but there's no loo around, so you need to hold it.
Yes.
And that's a similar feeling?
That's engaging the pelvic floor muscles.
Okay. So it doesn't ride up to the... pulling my belt in either.
Slightly different. So the pulling your belt in is the girdle, and then at the bottom of the girdle you've got your pelvic floor muscles that make your core, and then at the top you've got the diaphragm. So the breathing exercises are important, the pelvic floor exercises are important, and what I'm training you now on is the one in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that pulling the belt in, you want to slowly pull it in for 5 seconds, hold it for 5 seconds, slowly let it out for 5 seconds, and do that 5 times a day. So if you use the rule of fives, and there's obviously a lot of other exercises that you can do, this is just one that I want to leave you with because it actually can make quite a big difference.
Yeah.
Then what you need to do is be able to get it to the place where it's strong enough for you to engage all the time and have a conversation and not know that it's engaged.
Right.
I think the reason that that's so important is because very often the muscles that are responsible for movement rather than stabilization get involved in stabilizing. So if people have really spasmed back muscles, it's usually because their core is not strong enough. So the muscles that should be responsible for movement actually aren't designed to stay fired up like that all the time, mm-hmm. whereas we need to replace that. So if people, you can't come into a massage with a really bad back problem and just release all the spasming because that's scaffolding the problem.
Yes.
You have to slowly introduce your core strengthening as you take the scaffolding away through treatment.
I like the belt one. Yeah. I think that's going to have to be a new habit to develop.
And also, can I just announce to our listeners, because some of our listeners are men, that men have pelvic, they need to remember that they need to do the pelvic floors as too, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just for women. Yeah, but actually it's the whole, isn't it? If you look at our actual physiology, then we do need to make sure that our men join in as much as our women.
Absolutely.
We've had the lovely Paul Andrews reply. Paul Andrews, by the way, is not only our producer for our show, but also he is the part owner of Channel Radio and also has a fantastic show, which is The Business Bunker, which you may be interested in, Deborah, to talk about your business and especially what you do. Business Bunker goes out Tuesdays from 1 till 3 now. It's a two-hour show.
World domination is starting.
And he's tweeted back to say, great show again, ladies. So that's lovely to hear. And we've also had a lovely retweet and a favourite from Shane Elliott. Is it how I pronounce that? I must get my glasses, Jan.
Well, it's either Shane or it's Shane
Elliott. Producer, her grandmother is iconic.
Dionne Warwick. Yeah.
So you see how we're all interconnected. Fabulous stuff.
So there's a big future ahead for you at Restoring Health, isn't there?
There is.
We're here on the great world domination. I'm into world domination. I like other people doing world domination as well.
Yeah, you go for it, Jan.
So your first steps to world domination started today.
They have. We actually have launched a new clinic at the Pegasus Sports Centre. So it's a gymnastics club at Maidstone. And my staff are working.
That's in Kent, by the way, in England, in case we have listeners in South Africa at the moment, or New Zealand, or wherever.
Thank you. Yes, so we're currently at a venue called Bob Prowse Health Club, which is a private health club in Maidstone, and we're branching out to Pegasus, and soon we're going to be at another venue as well called The Oast, and there are plans in the future. We hope if there's a development happening at the Moat Sports Centre that we might be involved with the squash club there as well, and they're going to have some treatment rooms they're building specifically for us in the future. So we hope that all comes off.
So it's all happening. Exciting times.
Yes. Brilliant stuff. Well, remember, you heard Deborah on Who Cares Wins first. Fabulous stuff.
We've got time for one more question because we've got a few events to mention.
Okay.
It's sort of a two-in-one question.
Yes.
Because we heard last week from Kerry, and when we were talking to you in the green room earlier, about the fact that you both hate the phrase, it's my age, I can't do that because, and you both, remember, the hairs on the back of your head went up, and you were like, no, I'm going to fight that. thing. So it's allied with who should have regular massage, who is massage good for?
I know this sounds like a very generalized thing, but actually absolutely everybody. I think the thing that we, because it has health benefits and you can go into preventative massage, we can usually feel things going wrong in your muscles before they become apparent to you. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's really beneficial as a preventative. But I think that is a statement that I'm really passionate against, because I see people every day in what we do that think that they have to live with pain just because it's part of the aging process. And yes, very often,
rubbish.
If there was a medical condition, absolutely, if there was a medical condition that is causing that pain, very often the muscles as a secondary reaction mm-hmm. would be causing unnecessary pain. And
right.
we've seen people come completely off pain medication through the treatment that we do. So if you can keep doing things that you love for as long as possible, I know that our next venture is going to be with the Maidstone Indoor Bowls Club.
Yay!
The average age of the clients there are some much younger, but mostly about 70, and they just want to keep doing the thing that they love, stay flexible, and be able to enjoy living. So
great. Yeah.
Brilliant, and you're helping them with that. Yes. So that's excellent.
Brilliant.
Now, if you've heard Deborah today and you're interested either in getting in touch with her and her colleagues, or whether you want to know more about
yes.
soft tissue therapy and want to find a practitioner near you, then Deborah might be your first point of contact to have that conversation.
Or you want to follow Jan's journey. I'm signing her up. Did you see that? I've signed her up. I've filled in the paper for you, Jan.
I'm frozen now. So to contact
her. She's going to get me later.
And also, I'm going to say again, she mentioned earlier free clinics that they offer
yeah.
as taster sessions. Yeah. So that might be worthwhile signing up for. The website is www.restoring-health.co.uk. All the other contact details are on there. We will post them, as usual, on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and our own web page, Who Cares Wins Radio.
By planes going by, anything we can
absolutely.
Use, carry a pigeon, yeah.
we'll send it out. But Deborah, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been amazing, hasn't it? And we need a 4-hour show for this. It's like, well, hey!
I'm not quite ready to sign up for a massage, but maybe a bit more talking therapy first.
Yes, I'll work on
and you'll work on that. time for a quick event, Angela. Oh, and a cough.
I haven't done too bad, actually. I obviously haven't done as much talking as normal either. Two things. One, I need to mention Business Bunker again, actually, just because, funny enough, the guest that we have next week, Jan,
yeah.
Nikki, who, again, we met through Wellbeing Symposium,
I
knew her as well, didn't
East
you?
East Kent Women is in Business.
And East Kent.
I gave a chat, and she was one
That's
of
right.
my victim audience.
Victim audience. So Nikki Ratcliffe, we've been tweeting, and she's going to be joining us next week. But I noticed on Twitter, as you do, wonderful little mechanism, she's actually on Business Bunker tomorrow.
Ah.
So if you want to hear Nikki and maybe hear her business aspect tomorrow, she's joining Paul Andrews and the wonderful Jules Serkin between 1 and 3 on channelradio.co.uk. And then she'll be obviously joining us next week. So I said I'd say
story.
Hi, Nikki, because I know she's listening in today, bless her. Haven't seen any tweets from you, Nikki. She's obviously hiding somewhere. But good luck for tomorrow, and we'll see you next week. I did want to just remind people, around the end of March time, if you're fancying maybe a bit of a weekend away with a bit of a treat and a rejuvenation, you could maybe dash up to my favourite place, which is the Lake District. You can either go and spend some time with Kanku, and obviously they've got their new offerings now where you can have, you ditch your car, they give you this wonderful little safari Land Rover, you have a wonderful farmyard apartment to stay in, you're in the bottom of the horseshoe, the horseshoe fell. What's it called? Oh my goodness,
know.
It's gone now. So, you know, it's just completely a bliss. But there's also a spring yoga weekend if you want something different. And I'll post it up. That's a colleague of mine with mindfulness, pipbellis@hotmail.com. It's 27th to 29th of March. And it's actually in the idyllic cottage, Nab Cottage, Rydal Water, in the Lake District.
That sounds lovely. So an early spring break, maybe.
Yes.
So, as I said, our guest next week is Nikki Ratcliffe. Having been caught up in the bombings of 7/7, Nikki has discovered at first hand the health and mental well-being benefits of fresh air, walking and exercise. And she'll be sharing that story and her journey
She's
with
a
us.
Rambler, isn't she?
She is a rambler.
She's a rambler.
So thank you again, Deborah,
Such
for your time
pleasure.
Today.
Thanks
pleasure
for
to have you. Have a lovely week,
I think
everybody.
You need to come back. Will you come back?
Yes.
So have a great week. Tune in to listen again. Look out for our posts, and we'll see you. this time next week.
Yay! Bye. Take care, everyone. Bye bye. Oh dear.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm